You're listening to WHYY. I'm Matt Gillum. We are sweating our way through summer. The days are long, there's plenty of humidity, and a welcome sense of ease hanging in the air. The gardener's work may never be done, but it's the season of generally taking it easy and going down the shore. Joining us to gab about the garden and how to not work too hard at this warm and wonderful time of year is lecturer and author Jenny Rose Carey. Hey, Jenny.
Hi, Matt.
All right, well, there was rain in the final weekend of June, and last week the heat was oppressive around the 4th of July. Any precautions or tips you have for gardeners wanting to be outside and active this time of year?
We have to think about ourselves as well as our plants, and one of the things at this time of year, you really should make sure you're hydrated. Try and do your gardening. We mentioned last week about watering early in the day. It is the best time, early and late. You know, there's that expression about mad dogs and English people going out in the midday sun. I don't know if you've heard that one.
I've not. Please share that with me and our listeners. What is this phrase?
Mad dogs and English men, it is, but I make it people. Only we're the only ones that go out in the midday sun. So I was schooled in that one as I grew up. You're not going out in the midday sun. But anyway, the best time to be gardening is maybe before 10 and probably after 5. So it's either before work or after work. But there's a reason for that. The solar radiation, obviously, we know we need some sun on our skin to get vitamin D, but wear a good sunscreen. I am the queen of the pink floppy hat, as you might have seen. So I always have my pink floppy hat with me. But really, it's the time for fashion to go out of the window and find your...
I imagine you in the summer garden is basically every single gardening session is like is a Kentucky Derby day for you.
Yes. I have a flower on my hat, yes. So the other thing is that for your plants, you're trying to give them the best chance of success as well. And long-term solutions include making sure that you mulch the soil surface. We've mentioned it before because if you use an organic material like compost or leaf mold or something like that, it will also improve your soil over time. So if you're growing any of the vegetables, if you're growing any annual plants, even perennials really can still benefit from, it doesn't have to be a huge performance. You don't have to get lots delivered. Just even sprinkling some over the soil surface really does help keep the moisture that you've watered in the morning into the soil and not evaporate.
So limit the outdoor activity, go in the morning, go in the afternoon, and mulch will help keep things damp.
Yep.
About how much do we need to be watering right about now? Because we can get those afternoon storms and that can just drench everything.
And as we know in the Delaware Valley, you can watch the radar on your phone and it says it's not going to rain and then you get an inch in 45 minutes. So I do have a rain gauge. We've mentioned that before, but it is good, or a bucket. Look in a bucket and see how much rain you've had, because you might think you've had a lot and it's not very much, or vice versa. So, you know, it's up to you how much you want. I mean, you might love the watering, as we've talked about sometimes in the past.
A little excuse to get out of the house.
Yes, yeah, we did mention that before, but, you know, some things, it's always true. But you know, it's designing your gardens to have the reality of this unexpected, you never know what you're going to get.
Well, both our listeners and me know that you particularly love flowers. As we start to make our way through summer, talk a bit about deadheading. How frequently should plant people be cutting back their blooms, and what flowers benefit from it this time of year?
That is a very good point. And it's a nice, gentle activity, but most of the annuals in particular really do benefit from it, because they tend to get a bit leggy by the middle of the summer. And we talked about that one before as well. Too long. And
I just deployed the word so expertly and seamlessly, and I smiled.
Oh, there you go. See, you're learning as we're going along. But try and trim them back and cut deeper into it at times, just to get all of those side buds to sprout, because that terminal bud, that end bud, is sending information down to the lower bit of the plant saying, no side buds, don't start growing. But if you nip that top bit off, all of those side buds start growing, so you get a fuller plant. So things like a zinnia or a marigold, those all benefit from having this process. And in the same time, you can actually bring those flowers into your house. So it's like a win-win-win.
Perfect. Well, before we go, tell us a little bit about your summer garden, Jenny. What's just coming in, and which of your myriad plants is making you happy right now?
Well, lilies. Lilies are coming into full bloom. This is their season. Obviously, they grow from a bulb, either spring or autumn planted. They're one of the bulbs that needs to be very fresh when you put it in. So they're, I would really, if you're thinking of planning for next year, go to a specialist lily bulb catalogue, usually online. I have some sweet peas that are growing. They won't last for very much longer, but they are so fragrant that I have to have them every year. Let's think. Oh, my poppies were a very spectacular. They're passing over now, but I couldn't garden without my poppies. What else? Well, there's no marigolds because the chipmunks ate them. This is the other thing, is you have to wise up and realize which things you can grow and which things you cannot.
Well, nothing can be completely critter-proof. We have been chatting with famed horticulturalist and noted green thumb, Jenny Rose Carey. Great insights as always, Jenny.
My pleasure, Matt.